This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Tommy, Ocean Chinook or Puget Sound Coho, what is your palate favorite?
And you drop that kokanee on top of that barn door halibut's head, 67 feet of water, and he was not happy about that.
Well, I don't know. What do you think? Boxers or briefs?
Ooh, I'm going to have to go with a European cut speedo.
Fantastic. Excellent choice.
I love tuna. I do love tuna.
Heck yeah! Hey, you know, I have a buddy who refers to Canadian geese as flying carp. Obviously, he's not cooking them.
Right? He clearly.
Right? Oh, ocean snook.
Seriously?
Hands down.
Really?
Hands down. I don't fish for coho.
Good point. Hey, speaking of grind, can you tell the difference between ground deer and ground elk? Honestly, taste the difference.
You know, Dwayne, we only get one chance to live this life. Mm-hmm. And you will always regret the things that you don't do. So you know what I tell people? Buy the damn boat.
Hey, you know, the facts are, some days are just a grind. Welcome to Fish Hunt Northwest, the number one fishing and hunting talk show throughout the Pacific Northwest and beyond. Now here's your host, Dwayne England, and of course, the infamous Tommy Donlan.
Hello, and welcome to Fish Hunt Northwest, Dwayne England, Tommy Donlan, and I want to welcome our guest, Tommy, in-studio guest, finally. It's been a bit,
yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
Willie Frank III. So glad he could join us.
Glad to be here tonight.
Yeah, please say hello. Yes. And Ron Garner, President of PSA. How you doing, my friend?
Yeah. Thanks for having us today. This is a special event. Mm-hmm. Much needed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got some great conversation ahead of us this evening. So glad you gentlemen could join us. We just have a ton to get through. We actually do every week, Tommy, but this is special.
This is special. This is very special.
A show I've been looking forward to for quite some time. I want to welcome everybody to the show. It's the first time you're joining us here. Especially on Root Sports, take some time, jump on over to our webpage, www.fishonnw.com. They're going to find a lot of insightful information, some blogs to pay attention to, a lot of how-tos, but also some coupon codes. Check out Fish Hunt FHN20, actually. Edge rods, FHN20 at checkout. You're going to save 20% off all edge rods all the time when you use our coupon code. Also, Phelps Game Calls, Fish Hunt NW10. You'll save 10% on all Phelps game calls throughout the entire year. So, Tommy, we're very busy this time of year. There's a lot going on. This weather is amazing.
No doubt. You know,
every time we start the show, I always got to make mention of the weather. But this is like 87 here in Olympia by Saturday.
That's right. This is what we've been waiting for.
This is what we've been waiting for. So, cannot get here soon enough. Next week looks amazing. I'm going to try to get out there, Area 13, do a little jigging because it's that time, right? So, but hey, we got the Kids Derby coming up.
We're going to
remind you guys once again about our annual Kids Derby. It's the fourth annual Fish on Northwest 2024 Kids Trout Derby here at Summit Lake, free for kids 14 and under.
That's right. And each one gets a t-shirt, raffle ticket. I'm going to find out if my almost two-year-old daughter actually likes fishing or not at all. So she's going to be hitting the trout pond. We'll see how that goes. That's right. Mission Outdoors is going to be in the house.
Right.
They're doing breakfast and lunch. So it's going to be a good time.
They'll be providing drinks. They'll kids five and under get to fish the trout pond. Mm-hmm. And look, if you're thinking you can't participate because you don't have a boat, no need to worry. Washington State Guides Association is on board this year. They're going to have a host of guides here. I think we're up to 30 seats available now, compiling a list. If you want to get your children into a boat fishing with a guide for the Derby, absolutely free. All you got to do is show up at the boat ramp the morning of May 18th. Simply email us, fishhuntnw@gmail.com, and we're going to put your name on a list, going to assign you to a boat and a captain, and your kids and yourself are going to have a fantastic time. So Really looking forward to that, Tommy. Seems to be a lot of interest this year. I think this will be the biggest and best derby we've had thus far. So, all right, running down the show, lots to get through. We have two gentlemen in the house for good reason. Lots of discussion to happen that we're excited about. We're going to start off first with Willie in a little history lesson. Who was Billy Frank Jr.? And what was it like growing up as his son? Willie's going to tell us all about it. Also then, what is the Billy Frank Jr. Salmon Coalition? Who's involved and who does it benefit? This is some great information you need to hear. And then we're going to delve into a handful of topics that Tommy and I are passionate about. Hatcheries. Are the Northwest tribes on board with more fish? How about broodstock programs? Also, predation. Predation control. Is it time to get aggressive? And what can Northwest tribes do to aid us in that fight? Habitat restoration. Are we gaining any ground? Seriously? Any ground in making a difference? Is it happening? Also, harvest methods, cultures, which is very important. Selective harvest, is it ever entering in the conversation? Things that we're going to actually dive into on this show tonight with these two gentlemen right here. Once again, Kent, thank you guys for being here. Willie, I've been wanting to meet you for quite some time. A lot of history. I mean, our families kind of crossed paths back in the day when your father was with us. He was friends with my Uncle Freddie there in Nisqually Valley.
I love to hear the stories of the connection of our family.
Isn't that something?
It's amazing.
Yep. So there is a ton of info to get through. We're going to put you guys, I don't want to say on the hot seat, but we're going to make you think a little bit and answer some questions. It's going to be good stuff. So don't go anywhere. Go jump out for a quick break. We come back more with our in-studio guests and lots of conversation right here, Fish on Northwest.
Defiance Marine is the one-stop shop for the Pacific Northwest angler. Defiance Marine guarantees the best price on a new and best service on a repower for your current boat. Defiance Marine is a Honda Premier dealership and one of the largest on the West Coast. Defiance Marine is a boat dealer who proudly sells Defiance, Allied, and Arima boats. All boats are built by West Coast fishermen for West Coast fishermen. Defiance Marine has all your boating needs to help you get out on the water.
If you're looking for the best fishing rods in the world, you really do need to take a look at the Edge rods. I designed and built new machinery, and I think this new machinery has enabled us to build blanks like no other company could build without this equipment. There is no other rods in the world that are as good as these rods. You owe it to yourself to take a good look at them.
All right, welcome back here, Fish on Northwest, Dwayne England, Tommy Donlin. And once again, introduce you to our guest, Willie Frank III, Nisqually Tribal Council formal chairman.
Former chairman, yes.
Yeah, sir. Putting in a lot of time over there. And then Ron Garner, of course, a lot of folks know you, president PSA. And that would be president of all PSA with all the prospective chapters. Yep. So finally, nice to get you down here. He's been on the show via Zoom or phone call, but yeah.
But never personally.
Never in the studio.
Only took him 5 hours to get down here.
Yeah, I know. Crazy traffic.
Dinner was worth it.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. We got to give credit to your wife.
Yeah, fantastic. King killed it, man. Fresh spring Chinook and goose poppers. Nothing but the best for you guys.
Great.
So
great.
He took a bite of that goose popper. He said, what is this madness?
He didn't notice when I was putting like seven.
He's like, why is he loading up?
Two's not going to be enough.
Yeah. Maybe two's not enough. So so glad you guys could join us. And thank you for bringing your wife, Peggy. Nice to sit down and have dinner and conversation and get this whole thing going. So, Willie, let's walk down a little historical lane here for folks maybe not familiar with really who you are, more so who your father was. Now, he passed 10 years ago this month of May, correct?
Yep.
And so historical value in the state of Washington, I mean, if you're not familiar, you need to do your – research. You know, you'd simply pull up Wikipedia and get a host of information about your father. You know, the fish wars, the fish ins of the 60s and 70s, you know, was arrested numerous times, standing for what he truly believed in, fighting. And like we talked at dinner, not just fighting for the rights of the Nisqually tribe, but for Northwest tribes as a whole. And I told you as a kid growing up in the 70s, watching it on the news, watching it make national news. I mean, your father, had some tremendous historical value in the state. What was it like growing up as his son, past all of that, and learning about your father as you grew up with him?
Well, I think first introduce myself. My name is Willie Frank III. My Indian name is Kalashkin. The former chairman of Nisqually, I've had the honor to serve for 16 years on 15 years on council.
Wow.
And I'll never forget the day I got elected when my dad just shook his head and laughed and said, "You got this."
Oh, good.
You know, but The real history starts with my grandfather, Willie Frank Sr., mm-hmm. who was born in 1879.
Wow.
You know, when you think about that, the Medicine Creek Treaty of 1854, you know, and that's what our foundation of who we are as Indian people and of Nisqually, Squaxin, and Puyallup, part of the Medicine Creek Treaty. And I think for my father growing up, you know, he had one of the greatest teachers, you know, Willie Frank Sr.
Sure.
His mother, my grandma, Angeline Tobin Frank, who was a Squaxin Island tribal member. You know, and so for us, we, my grandpa and our family, we were covering all the areas in the South Sound to assure that, you know, we'd be able to tell our story.
Yeah.
You know, and here we are today in 2024. My father was born in 1931, and he was arrested over 50 times in his life for exercising his treaty right on the Nisqually River. Now, the Treaty of Medicine Creek of 1854, Article 3, promised us the right to hunt, fish, and gather in all of our usual and accustomed grounds. Now, the state of Washington believed that the reservation boundary lines
was the lines,
because in 1917, two-thirds of our Nisqually reservation was condemned to make room for Joint Base Lewis-McChord.
Mm. Right.
And so for us, we were displaced. My grandfather, Willie Frank Sr., and our family, we had 200 acres on the Muck Creek Village, which you guys probably know, up the Nisqually River there, you know, right before you get to the tank crossing. You know, and so our family, you know, growing up with that history of just the traditional values, you know, our language, our fishing, our hunting, our gathering, you know, and more importantly, the community and family, you know, and that's what I hope we're going to start getting back to. And that's what I see this here tonight. You know, I see us breaking bread like my father taught me to do, you know, and it was, you know, coming to the table, you know, maybe if we do have differences, you know, you come to the table and talk about him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think about him. He was somebody who could have been one of the most bitter human beings in the world. You know,
he was like one of the nicest men ever walking the earth.
He was, you know, he walked
harbored no ill will.
He lit the room up when he walked in, you know, and I guess that's why the state of Washington is recognizing him with the statue that will represent this great state of Washington. And so it's pretty exciting.
Now, your mother was also a very influential person. So, you know, Susan Crystal, she served under Governor Lowry, as well as Governor Locke. She was a top healthcare advisor. So, you know, during your upbringing, you know, did your mom really push the value of education and really stress the importance of culture?
Yeah, she did. You know, she wanted me to be comfortable with who I am. You know, my mother is a Jewish woman from Detroit. My father is a full-blooded Nisqually Indian. You know, it's quite the dynamic duo that my parents were. And my mother, she worked for Senator Magnuson here in the state. And that's how she met my dad in the late 70s.
Oh.
And so that was right around the time with Professor Ralph Johnson, the Supreme Court in 1979, of course, you know. And so he fell in love and the story was history from there. And, you know, for me, I have pictures of being in, you know, state Representative Mike Lowry's office as a young kid, you know, being with Senator Magnuson. I mean, I always knew where I'd be in my life, you know, and being able to help, you know, be a bridge maker and a peacemaker, you know, and I think about where we are and we talked about what my father stood for and it was the laws of nature. You know, it wasn't the laws of this group gets one or this group gets another. It was about respecting everything that Mother Earth gives us.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we're starting to get back to.
And just for clarification, so with the treaty rights and your dad's stance on that and his interpretation of what he truly believed and what he did, he was like, no, this gives us our rights to fish off reservation. And that was where the line was drawn by the state. And so him exercising his rights and his beliefs and doing that, that would be why he was arrested so many times. And he did it time and time again, because he was not going to give up the fight to say that, no, this is our right, this is our people. And that's what he truly fought for. He could have stayed on reservation and there would have never been any issues, right? Yeah. But he fought hard for what he truly believed in. And it changed fishing in Washington State and the Northwest for history, right? Mm-hmm. So pretty admirable for him making a stand and getting people to follow him the way he did.
It's truly amazing. You think about it. I mean, he believed that treaty, you know, promised us the right to hunt, fish, and gather in all of our usual and accustomed grounds. And I think about, you know, the traditional trade routes, you know, of our old people. We traded and bartered with all of white people, you know, Indian people, whatever, you know. It was about the old value system, I guess, even in a way. You know, we talked about it at dinner tonight.
You know?
I mean, we might have disagreements in some areas or here, but it's about learning and we have more in common than we do, you know. And,
absolutely.
And that's what we're trying to get across to
Absolutely.
For that's sure. what this coalition is all about. And, you know, when Ron has the opportunity, I mean, for me, I, I've, I've learned so much in the last 3 years since this kind of coalition has taken place and gotten more energy. I mean, having the chance to hear from, I never thought I'd be sitting by John or a sportsman like this, having these conversations about habitat, but that's what my dad stood for.
Absolutely. Great segue, because we're going to jump out for a quick break. We come back, it's time to talk coalition, what you two guys are up to and a whole host of other folks involved with you and where this is going and who it benefits and all those things. Don't go anywhere. Jumping out for a quick break. We come back. More with these two gentlemen to Tommy's Immediate Right after the break, right here, Fish on Northwest.
Allied, the new leader in heavy gauge aluminum boats. Allied boats have standard reverse chine and lifting rakes to help you plane faster and run at lower RPMs. Allied boats have several models to choose from, ranging from a 19-foot Mustang all the way up to a 32-foot Liberator. So regardless of what type of heavy gauge aluminum boats you are looking for, Allied Boats will have it for you. Contact Allied Boats today to learn more about these incredible fishing machines.
All right, welcome back here in studio to Wayne and Tommy Donlin and our guests, once again, Willie Frank III and Ron Garner. So, Billy Frank Jr. Salmon Coalition. Ron, why don't we talk a little bit about how this came together, what it actually is, and who's all involved?
So, it came together because of what's been happening.
Yeah. You
know, nothing's working. We've been down every road there is, we've tried everything, and we're worse off than we used to be. So it kind of started when you say the plenary session at North of Falcon is where it really started gathering some ground. And that was, we met with the tribes, and, you know, I've had a good relationship with tribal members from fishing and being on the water with them for a lot of years.
Sure.
And we've built, you know, friendships and things like that. So, and we started a coalition first, hatchery coalition with the Lummies, the Upper Skagit, and the Tulalips. And that was because of our fisheries being attacked, our hatcheries being attacked. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of grew, and I got to know more and more, and this just kind of fed right into it. And so we all got together in North Falcon and Linwood, and we talked everything out and, you know, welcomed. And it was really fun. It was really nice to be on the same page with each other. And then afterwards, you know, I called Lorraine and I said, hey, I want to get together and talk with the rest of the tribes. This isn't lip service. And so she brought me in the Northwest Indian Fisheries Commission meeting. And like I said earlier, you know, that took a lot of courage for you to come in. I heard that over and over. And I said, no, it took running out of fish.
That's a pretty substantial invite.
Yeah.
The Northwest Treaty Tribes and or the council and the commission, they just don't open their door to anybody, Ron. So yeah, you earned your way into that door, huh?
I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah, either. Well, I mean, you know, tip our cap to you because of your ability to talk with people on a level that is comfortable and you know, not antagonistic. It's like you really wanted to help solve problems.
Yeah.
And you know, the way to do that is to like get in that door and start having the conversations. I always refer to them as we can sit down and have adult conversations. We're not going to offend each other, right? And that's exactly what you did.
You start with relationships.
Absolutely.
You start building those relationships. And I have long-term ones that have got us into so much better than where we've been in a lot of years. And people don't know it because I can't talk about it.
Sure.
But it's behind the scenes. You can work on things on the level with each other. You can bring things up. And it's been powerful. And there's things I can never talk about. But the tribes have saved our butts a lot of times. Yeah. I've gone through when some major things were going to happen, and I went behind the scenes, and they said, this is what's happening. This is how it's coming at us. Can you help us? And they have. And I've done it with NOAA. I've done it with WDFW. And it's all been really, really positive. And it's just because we're working together to fix it. We all see the same thing and go, we can't let that happen. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this just rolled right into this, you know, we were at the Orca Task Force and this came in and, man, it was great. Pagan and Lorraine helped us so much. When we got rid of HSRG, she was one of the major things because I called her up and I said, Lorraine, I said, will you go to the WDFW commission meeting with me on Friday? She goes, that's not my place. I said, I know it. I need some help.
I need
some serious help here.
For sure.
Because we're going to take it out. But I need something. She goes, well, we got a letter going to the governor's office about removing it. I said, okay. Can I get a copy of that letter? And she goes, not unless all 20 tribes agree to it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I need some help, Lorraine. And so I called her up a couple days later, and she says, well, we still haven't got the responses. Friday morning, I walk in the commission meeting. That letter is on every commissioner's desk.
No kidding.
And I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lorraine. Uh-huh. And so afterwards, I called her and I said, all right, how did you do this? Yeah. She says, well, I put the message out. I wasn't getting the responses I needed. So I said, if I don't hear from you by the end of the day, we're shipping the letter. Mm-hmm. And she did it. And that's what working together is all about.
Gotcha.
And I just, you know, we started with Randy Kinley, but it's, I took a pledge to break down the walls between us, mm-hmm. you know, and that has to happen. And it's happening. And it's, as we're sitting here speaking, we're getting people that were kind of in the fish wars that are coming aboard now. And they said, you're doing mm-hmm. the right thing. And
yeah.
Whether they said it or not, I know we're doing the right thing. And, yep. you know, Willie, Pagan, we're going to get through this and we're going to fix it.
Well, and that's what I think people don't realize, right? It's going away from that us versus them mentality to mm-hmm. it's just us.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't matter what type of fishing you do, which group you're a part of. We all have that one common interest, and we are all collectively in wars on multiple fronts. We're at war with predation. We're at war with, you know, preservationist groups like yep. Wild Fish Conservancy, right? Yep. And not any one group can win that war by themselves. So this is absolutely critical. Can you talk just a little bit about the coalition specifically? Like, how did that get started?
I think that all started up because of, you know, we did the plenary session. We started talking. We had the orcas we had to feed. And to be on the group, you had to agree to three things. And that was, one was to fix the habitat. Two was to increase hatchery production. And three was to deal with the pinnipeds. And, you know, those were all just common sense things that yeah. are killing mm-hmm. us off.
Right, right.
And it's like, yeah, that's a no-brainer. So we have Butch Smith, Phil Anderson. We've got John Stark, if I said that correctly. Mm-hmm. He's a scientist. And I got to talk to him a while back. And boy, that guy is like Ooh. 10 times better mm-hmm. than I thought he was. That was awesome, one-on-one with him. But we got this started. We got legislators there. We had, you know.
Both sides of the aisle.
Yep.
Both Democrats.
All the way around.
Republicans, yeah.
And, you know, we just sat down and started talking and broke up into groups, how we were going to handle things, and went after it. And it's been nothing but great.
If you can get bipartisan support and tribal elders on board, I mean, now we're moving forward with stuff for sure. Cause you got all the support you need, hopefully. So more to get to on the coalition. We're not going to have enough time to get through all this. We're gonna try. So jumping out for a quick break. We'll have more after this break right here at Fish on Northwest.
Support from Northwest Sportsmen make Federal Ammunition the world's leading ammunition manufacturer. Federal uses the industry's finest materials, giving you reliable ammunition that delivers superb accuracy and optimum performance. Northwest hunters rely on Sportco to provide the best selection and prices in the Northwest since 1985. Sportco and Outdoor Emporium in Fife and Seattle. Your journey begins here.
You haven't been here, but you know it. You've heard the sounds, smelt the air, and you've seen where your heart lands, if not yet. You haven't been here, but you've longed for a destination near or far, where time spent with loved ones and friends will go into the night and last in memories for a lifetime. You haven't been here, but you're on your way to a place not far. ExploreTheDalles.com.
All right, welcome back here in studio. So much to get to. We're just going to jump right to it. So hatcheries. I think everybody in this room collectively would raise their hand and say, yes, we support hatcheries. So fish production, more specifically tonight, let's focus on Chinook, Willie. You know, there's several groups going after hatchery production throughout the state, mm-hmm. whether it's steelhead, whether it's Chinook salmon, what have you. They feel that by reducing, minimizing, removing hatchery production, our wild fish are going to come back. Can either of you name a single watershed? And we'll just talk about Chinook. Name a single watershed where we have completely gone away from any hatchery production and it's bringing back the wild Chinook stock within that basin.
I'll let you go first.
Well, every Chinook river in this state that doesn't have a Chinook hatchery on it, the Chinook have gone extinct.
100%.
I don't know if you can bring up that picture that...
I don't have it. No, sorry.
Okay. Yep. Well, there's the one picture that shows we don't have the habitat to support those big runs of fish anymore.
Correct.
And we, you know, the hatcheries, the reason the hatchery fish are making it is because they're controlled in an environment where they have a high percentage way of living. And we have these 60-year floods that are blowing the trees out. They're blowing 99% of our eggs right down the river and out. How do you fix that?
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, what we should be looking at next is how to brood stock those wild fish.
Great segue.
Excuse me, not wild. I'm going to call them natural
origin. Sure, natural origin. Yeah. We'll agree to that.
Yeah. And we need to bring those up with the hatchery fish. We need to help them.
Yep.
You know, they need help. And that's what we got to do. You got to break the old mold, because what we did didn't work. Yeah. And that's going to be taking the tribes and us and everybody and Noah. We're going to have to fix this. And we're going to have to do it against a lot of odds, because we're going to have the wild fish people coming at us. Money.
Yeah.
It's always money.
It's a money grab.
It's money.
Yep.
And, you know, but that's what it's going to take. And they need help. So we're going to have to fix them. And we can do it, but we're going to have to get tough.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things is, as we have watched our runs dwindle over the years, both wild and hatchery production, you know, one of the things that has kind of come into the spotlight is, you know, how are the orcas doing? Right. And, you know, I think one of the pieces of data that we've been able to prove and show is that they're not doing so well, right? And we really need to increase the hatchery production in order to support the orcas. Can you talk about, like, how important is that work or the recommendation from the Orca Task Force to create more opportunity? How important is that?
That's extremely important. So Butch Smith and I started with the removal of HSRG out of the Washington WDFW salmon policy. We got that out. We got the 50 million Chinook recommendation, and boy, it was like pulling hen's teeth to get that into the Orca Task Force. Mm-hmm. And it took the tribes to help us drive it through and get it in. But so 13 hatchery programs were going to feed the orcas. Took starving orcas to prove that we've been right all along. Mm-hmm. And then so once we get through that, Wild Fish Conservancy drops a lawsuit to shut it down. So they're saying we need to shut. They got another lawsuit up in Alaska. We need to shut down fishing to save the orcas. But on the other side of their mouth, they're saying, well, no, we don't want you making these fish for the orcas. We don't want that.
No, so, we just want wild fish.
Yeah, we want those. And so basically, is a starving guy going to spit a hamburger out and say, no, I want steak? This is ridiculous. And that's got to be stopped. And that was one of the reasons we went into the co-manager policy, is to get the state and the tribes together and make it extremely tough for them to sue. Because everybody knows we need more fish. We aren't going to fight over the fish anymore. We're going to fight for the fish.
Right.
We're all going to make the pie bigger.
So we do need more fish. And look, we've scooted up for years, right? I mean, going back to when we started seeding all Puget Sound with Green River strain of Chinook salmon, and it has diluted every wild strain of fish. We'll call them wild or natural spawn this point, because they're mixed stocked. And the genetic DNA you pull from these rivers, I don't care what basin, they all have that correlating genetic genome that just kind of, you know, connects all them fish. But taking what we know today, the science as it is, you take the Nisqually Basin and you go, this is the genetic strain of fish that we have. And we are going to take this fish within basin, we're going to brood stock this. And we're going to take the Puyallup drainage and we're going to brood stock this. And we're going to take, the Skagit River and we're going to brood stock this. Why? So we can bump what Mother Nature isn't able to do, because we don't have the habitat to support it. Meanwhile, we're producing basically cloned fish within a basin, pumping them out into the Puget Sound, into the ocean. We're feeding the orcas. Obviously, it gives us more opportunity for harvest, no matter which side of the table you sit at north of Falcon. Are the tribes not in a position to push that narrative through? Seeing as how we are always up against NOAA, ESA listings, and, you know, butting heads against the wall, so to speak, they say, no, you can't put more hatchery fish in. But we're talking about brood stocking the in-basin fish. Is that not a realistic goal?
Well, I think I think still going back, we talked about the tribes. I think using our treaty, you know, to the advantage of the state of Washington this time. You know, when we go back to Washington, D.C., the vice chairman from Lower Elwha, Russ Heppner, he says, you know, state feds, you know, we go back for Puget Sound Day on the Hill. He's like, we need to start using the tribes treaty and we got to start listening to the tribes.
Yeah.
You know, when we go back, we hit roadblocks. You know, every time we're back there with NOAA, with, you know, EPA, I mean, for us, we have two hatcheries on the Nisqually River that we produce a good amount of salmon. you know, for not just our Nisqually fishermen, but, you know, non-tribal, as well as our tribal, commercial, anglers, everybody.
Sure.
But we have to hear it from our own members at home.
Yeah.
You know, how come we're not out fishing? How come we're not able to catch these? And trying to educate them on it has been so challenging. I mean, for us as me, I know as a fisherman, I've had the opportunity to fish in the same set. My grandfather, Willie Frank Sr., my father, my brother, and I all set in. I mean, it truly is remarkable to think about that. It's over 100 plus years in one area on the Nisqually River that still is able to produce Chinook. I mean, not, of course, the size and the numbers that we want, you know, but for me, I'm willing to come to the table with anybody.
Yeah.
You know, we're here doing the having this conversation tonight. I hope this brings a whole new education to folks about, you know, how tribes can come together, you know, with folks you may not think have, you know, the same I guess, opinions at you in a way.
I would just think that you guys fighting for your and standing firm on your treaty rights would be able to have some leverage back there in D.C. with the BIA and against the feds and NOAA and all those that are saying no, no, no. And you're like, we're taking the fish in basin. Yeah. We're not creating these hatchery fish that we pulled out of XYZ River. We're taking what we created as a genetic footprint now, and we're sticking to that, right? I really, for the life of me, have a hard time understanding why we can't get more aggressive about this. And I would, you know, man, I would love for the tribes to have the power to tell the feds, like, hey, this is what we're doing because we need to produce fish.
I agree.
You know, so that everybody would win. Yeah. Everybody would win. So we could talk about this for hours. Believe it or not, we're up against a break and we got, again, so much more. We're going to jump into predation. This one, that's real. Right. You want to get me fired up, Willie?
Yeah, I like it. No, I didn't want to jump in. I was letting you go.
Yeah, like, yes, sorry. Well, do it. I want resolution.
Well,
I know the state can't do it on their own, and I definitely know a lot of this stuff is at the federal level, and I also know that the BIA is a force to be reckoned with back in D.C. And I'm like, there has to be a crossing point here at some point that we're going to get some work done.
There has to be, because I was on, when Trump was in administration, when he was in office, I was on the National Tribal Operations Committee.
Yeah.
And I went back to meet with with Scott Pruitt. Now, you know, this didn't happen in two administrations.
Right.
You know, and so it's like, for me, I always laugh because I'm like, wait, neither of these guys, the last two administrations now, it seems like we're getting farther and farther away from communicating with tribes, you know, with people.
Yeah.
And that's where you're seeing, like, for me, the last 3 years, I've tried to meet, I've ate breakfast at the Republican Club more times than I ever thought I would in my life.
Yeah.
Because it was educating folks about, you know, Nisqually, and, but even the Democrats, it's the same thing. You know, you meet with whoever is willing to listen. And I met the, what is the congresswoman from Wyoming? Hageman. Yeah, I mean, connecting with her, just, she was on, I think, Energy Commission, some of these. I'm just trying to get on Westerman out of Arkansas.
You're trying to land on an ear that's listening to what it is, and fighting.
Yeah, and so Westerman was, he's the head of the environmental when Trump took over, and that was the first thing we had him out to Nisqually in 2018 to get him out to show him, like, hey, you know, and so just trying to educate.
Interesting. All right, jumping out for a quick break. We come back. One of my favorite topics, and Tommy as well, predation in the failure points after this break right here at Fish on Northwest.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I'm Big Mike. Come on down to the Edge Pro Shop and see me. We've got all the best brands under one roof. We've got Hawken, Pro-Cure, Shortbus, Pro-Troll, Yakima Bait, Get 'em Dry Jigs, Northwest Bait Scent, Daiwa Reels, North Fork Lures, North Wild, Brad's, Superfly, Rocky Mountain Tackle, and of course, the greatest rods ever built, Edge Rods.
Welcome back here in studio, Dwayne England, Tommy Donlin, Willie Frank the Third, and of course, Ron Garner. So, predation. Boy, you want to get me fired up. let's talk about predation. I would give it an F, a failing grade, in our ability to manage or control predation, both pinniped and avian. Under the current ideals of how they're going about this, I mean, you know, credit to Representative Wilcox. He actually passed a bill last session for them to do additional studies on avian predation on Chinook, which I thought, okay, we have a lot of understanding what they're doing to steelhead smolt. And don't get me going on that. Tommy knows it's well involved, 11-year study. I don't want more studies. I do if we're going to take action.
Yes.
So I want action. Yep. So my confliction, Willie, is, look, we're all about hatchery fish, brood stocking. Let's pump more fish out into the system. But I mean, I had David Trout sitting right here in the studio at one point. We had the conversation too, simply flushing more fish out to feed the pinniped machine is a losing battle because we're making the predator stronger. So where are you at on the whole pinniped control issue?
Well, I mean, JT was, the reason he pushed that was because I gave him a boat ride to the mouth of the Nisqually River and he was able to see the 100 plus, you know, seals and sea lions at any time of the year. You know, and you think about when our, as we talked about, you know, the Chinook, they go and they spawn, you know, and they're right at the mouth, you know, first 18 months, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and those seals, I mean, they're crushing. It's like a salad.
Yeah.
It's like open. It's like an open buffet.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, pork. Yep. Yeah. And seeing that is harmful, you know, to us. That's the, our way of life is the salmon for Nisqually people.
Exactly.
You know, and we talked about culture, but this is all a part of, you know, the circle of life. And you know, we have to find a solution for that. And I don't know if it's shooting them. I don't know if that's going to work, but it's about coming up with a law that's going to work for everybody. And that's where I think the treaty rights, we take it back to EPA, we take it to NOAA, but we also take it to the BIA.
Yeah.
You know, and this is our way of life here. And we have, you know, people who are willing to listen. So I think strategizing and continuing the work with the coalition and finding out what doors are willing to open up for us, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there when you mentioned the BIA. Mm-hmm. And it kind of has me wonder, you know, is it seem it, w- it would appear or seem like, you know, we're kind of waiting on NOAA to green light us for, you know, predation control, right, from the pinnipeds. But do we have an avenue for the Northwest Treaty Tribes to go back to D.C. to work with the BIA, to work with the feds, to really get aggressive with the removal of pinnipeds? Is that an avenue we can take?
I think it is, but I think you have to come with the right messaging. And I think getting on shows like this and having the opportunity to educate people, because I think when you hear about seal pinniped management, everybody thinks we're just going to go out and shoot them. Mm-hmm. You know, well, we've done our traditional knowledge and research that showed we used to actually harvest seals.
Sure.
We used to trade, you know, seals. And so for us, we're going to go back and get all of our traditional knowledge as we move forward with the federal local governments to say, hey, look, this was in our traditional history and knowledge.
Yep.
You know, I heard stories from my dad about this, you know, and now it's like, it's a really cool time for tribes and tribal leadership who are ready to tell the story, because all of the traditional history for me, it's on a recording of my dad and my grandpa. But like he said, I've learned so much about my dad just in the last really, you know, 10 years of my life since he's been gone.
Yeah.
But I mean, going back now and working with a historian, you know, having the opportunity to really do the research has been amazing, because I'm hoping this will help our tribe, not just Nisqually, but all of our tribes harvested seals here. I mean, we traded them. I mean, so it's just getting back to the traditional ways and getting everybody to understand we're not going to go out and shoot them, but we need
it's just leaving them floating in the water. Right. Like
we need to have some kind of plan. We need to have some kind of, you know, something.
Needs to be some intervention. There needs to be some control measures. The Marine Mammal Protection Act of 1972 put a protection on, but there's never a lid or a ceiling recognized to say, what's the maximum carrying capacity?
Yep.
We're losing 25 to 30 million. I'm not telling you guys anything, you know, no, this is for the viewers. 25 to 30 million, you know, Chinook smolt annually due to predation of pinnipeds.
They don't make it to the salt water.
I equate this, Willie, to, we look back historically here, the tribes winning the lawsuits, and it took years, the culverts against the state of Washington. Why? Because 60s, 70s, and 80s, all the logging, all the culverts, and all the habitat that they blocked off for upper spawning grounds of all species of fish, right? So now the state's on the hook to put in all these culverts and reopen up all that tremendous spawning ground that still exists. We just got to find a pathway for the fish to get there. Well, I remember reading information articles about the tribes were leaning heavy on this because it interrupted your way of life. It interrupted your ability to go and pursue salmon. It interrupted the ability of salmon to nourish and flourish and give your people and the tribes of the Northwest the opportunity. Well, I look at the 1972 Marine Mammal Protection Act, and it's so out of control that is truly affecting your guys and your ability to do everything what I just said as it equated to the culverts. I look at it as like it's no different. How can the tribes not come together, as Tommy had stated, and utilize the BIA back in D.C. and say, feds, if you guys aren't going to take action, it's time for us to get serious about it. Because we've been talking about this for years.
Yeah.
Talked about with David Trout. I've talked about it with other persons. And I'm like, the state's not going to do it. It's at a federal level. The only people that have the power, as far as my understanding, would be tribals. And to say that this is affecting our ability to live our lives and do our usual and custom, I'm really hoping you guys have some power to make some headway, because We just talked about, we're all for hatcheries, brood stocking. Let's pump more fish into the system. Let's save the orcas. Let's give more opportunity for your people, all the tribes of the Northwest, and for recreational angling as a whole, as we all come together.
But you're not solving the root cause of the problem.
No, but if we're just feeding the machine,
right,
we're going to lose.
Yep.
So
per the Chasco paper, seals take 6 times more fish than recreational, commercial, and tribal combined.
Correct.
Yep. They take double what the orcas take. And we don't have any avenue to bump up the excess fish to cover for what we're losing.
Right.
But we do have to, we can't just continually keep making, like you said, stronger. We got to start dealing with those predators. Yep. And that's, it's just going to have to happen.
Yep.
Or we aren't going to have any fish, and you're going to see a big die-off of diseased seals because there's going to be too many of them.
Willie, is it a conversation that you have amongst elders in the tribe and throughout the tribes of the Northwest? Is this something you guys are like really taking serious or taking a look at and trying to figure out what you can do or can't do?
Oh, no, I definitely, you know, we talked about Lorraine Loomis, Randy Kinley, you know, these people, my father, for me, I've lost a lot of my leaders in the last 10 years who are elders and, you know, people who taught me those values of this is our way of life, you know? And for me, every Sunday when we were open, you know, able to go fishing, it's like going to church for me.
Yeah.
You know, the non-tribal folks, you know, they have their, you know, religion on Sunday. And that was it for, you know, my brother and I, my dad. You know, 81, my dad is still fishing with us in the river. You know, he'd come in the boat and, you know, he'd see a fish hit the net and he'd damn near jump in. And we'd finally tell him, my brother and I, we'd be like, Dad, you're going to have to just stand on the side. You can just that passion.
Sure.
So for me, you know, yeah, there's got to be an avenue. And I'm, you know, as long as I'm breathing, we're going to find an avenue to ensure that we're all on the water.
Amen. We're here to support you. We got to get it done. Yeah. We're going to lose this battle if we don't. All right. Jumping out for a quick break. We come back. A little time for habitat discussion, if we can squeeze it in here, Tony. Anyway, stick around after the break right here at Fish on Northwest.
I make my living catching fish, not only as a tournament angler, but as a guide as well. Catching fish is important, and Gamagatsu hooks for me, you know, they kind of help take the luck out of fishing a little bit just because they're a high quality hook. Obviously, have a really good reputation for being very strong and very sharp. Gamagatsu, I use their products every day in the boat and, you know, big part of my success.
New days, new beginnings, new friends, new loves, new dreams, new goals, new scenery, new job. No matter what the next chapter holds, Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate will be there to help you find the new that's right for your lifestyle at any stage of your life. Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate. Expect better.
Welcome back here to the show. Jumping right to it. Habitat. It's constantly in the discussion. We're approaching 8 million people in the state of Washington. Mm-hmm. And you look around, if the economy is booming, construction is everywhere. Willie, are we making any gains on habitat restoration in some of our watersheds?
Well, I think on the Nisqually, I can always say we're very positive making gains because we manage the 90 miles with the Wilcox family, you know, folks who lived on the river their whole lives and who understand our message and our story and, you know, what we're trying to do and protect and preserve. You know, I was just up at the Wilcox farm at an event last Thursday for Patrick DePoe. He's running for public lands commissioner, Macaw tribal member, one of my really good friends, former tribal leader. But I mean, he's somebody who's not here to say, you know, it's one or the other. It's like, no, like we're tired of the BS. We're tired of the runaround. We're tired of the pointing fingers. Let's come up with solutions. And I think, you know, that's what you see on the Nisqually. We have the Nisqually River Council. We have the Nisqually Land Trust, but we have a lot of partners. And it also does help that we have the Billy Frank Jr. Nisqually Wildlife Refuge at the mouth.
That
of the
is
river.
A huge component to
and
that.
And we were just talking about the work of removing the dikes.
Yeah.
You know, and now we're starting to see the life come back down there.
Correct.
And, you know, going to walk that area. But for me, I see it on our watershed and there is always hope. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I know some of the other watersheds are challenging, but we got to be there to support them and help them anywhere.
Yeah. Speaking of those other watersheds, you know, and Ron, feel free to jump in. Do we have any other areas throughout the state that when we look at them and we look at the wild Chinook, we think that, hey, you know what, the habitat is in place and we do have areas where they will just naturally rebound over time? Or are we pretty much in a situation now where we have to have hatchery programs in place throughout the entire state?
So we've had watersheds that have been rebuilt and the fish don't come back. like, let's just say Cedar River.
Oh, yeah.
And what we got there now are strays off the Sammamish. We don't have those Chinook there anymore. And, you know, what's really good is I got a buddy, Mike Crewson, who's a biologist for the Tulalips. And I've got a lot of talk with my really smart non-tribal friends on the fisheries. And they said, we don't think, you know, fixing habitat's going to fix it. What's Mike say? Well, if you got pristine habitat, no fish, then your fish program sucks.
Yeah.
That's pretty straight and to the point. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah. They need help. Put them back in there and get them going. This kicking the can down the road for 15, 20 years before we make any move, that's got to be over.
Sure.
We got to start getting really serious. We got to bring everybody out there has to be on board with us. If you want to keep fishing and you want your kids and your grandkids, future generations of fish, now's the time. So we're going to start putting the pressure on, and we're going to need everybody's help. But we need people educating so they can understand we're all in this together. No more fighting each other. We're fighting together for the fish.
Well, I even think, you know, Saturday they're having a world premiere at the Seattle International Film Festival. Fish Wars documentary.
Yeah.
That took, you know, 50 years of U.S. versus Washington. And it's one of the most amazing pieces, you know, the same time going on with the coalition. I mean, you're right. Now is the time to act. Now's the time to educate. Now's the time to bring people together. Even if we do have to have some tough conversations,
sure,
we can have them together.
Yeah, but at least we're having them.
Yes.
We're willing to sit down and have those conversations, whereas before you couldn't breach that door, you know, and now everybody recognizes the importance of uniting and coming together. If we don't, the anti-hatchery fish folks are going to win. And they're coming at us, and it's all about litigation, money, and lawsuits. So we all need to be on the same page. Okay, I hate to do this, but we got to jump out for a quick break so we can fit in a few more good talking points before this little the show is over. So jumping out for a quick break, don't go anywhere. We'll be back in studio right here, Fish on Northwest.
Support from Northwest Sportsmen make Federal Ammunition the world's leading ammunition manufacturer. Federal uses the industry's finest materials, giving you reliable ammunition that delivers superb accuracy and optimum performance. Northwest hunters rely on Sportco to provide the best selection and prices in the Northwest since 1985. Sportco and Outdoor Emporium in Fife and Seattle. Your journey begins here.
All right, welcome back here in studios. We're kind of winding it down. So Willie, as a recreational fisherman, Tommy and I, you know, we're subjected to seasons that are set on quotas. Let's just focus on Puget Sound, okay? We're subjected to what comes out of North of Falcon and season setting process based on numbers of fish. We're fishing against quotas. We're fishing against sublegal encounters, wild fish encounters. We have all these things that weigh in as far as how much time we get to spend on the water. And it's been cut back drastically, as we all know. Everybody would agree to that. Just within your own tribe, within the Squally Basin there, your fishermen getting on the water, look back into the 90s, how many days you guys would fish with, you know, allowed to put your nets in the river. Look to the 2000s and look to today. Yeah. Kind of give us that timeline and how much effort is available.
I can remember I graduated high school in the year 2000.
Yeah.
You know, and I started going down and watching my brother fish, you know, as a young kid. He had the old smokehouse, you know, and they'd do it on the old racks and everything. And so, you know, watching him as a young kid and then watching, you know, kind of the change in our river after the flood of 96, you know, we started seeing everything shift a little bit, you know, but for us, we used to fish, you know, 7 months out of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're down to 10 days now if we're lucky.
For salmon,
mm-hmm. You know, and that's not all three species. I mean,
that's Chinook.
That's Chinook. And if we're lucky, we have a coho run. It's never been a big run on the Nisqually.
Mm-hmm.
We're lucky to have one, but we haven't fished our precious chum in 10 years now on the Nisqually.
The highest rated quality of chum in the entire state was Nisqually River Run, right?
My father used to tell me stories. I used to hear them from Reuben Wells, our elders at Nisqually, Roy Wells, you know, about how rich those chum were.
Yeah.
I mean, they were gold to us.
They were.
You know, that was what, if we were going to be able to celebrate Christmas, my dad would say, at a young kid, you know, my brother talked about that.
Yeah.
You know, we'd always know when chum season was because it was Christmas time, Thanksgiving, right around that time. And it's funny because for Chinook, it was the Puyallup Fair.
Sure.
You know,
September.
It was always money for the fair.
Those chum were as chrome bright in river as you find them in the salt. The meat was as red as could be. Mm-hmm. And it had the most oil content of any chum in the state of Washington. You guys haven't been able to fish on them since
we had 2015 was our last run, you know, and
Now you're about 10 days on. I mean, the runs continue to
get
lucky to have 10 days of your tribal folks actually putting nets in the river.
And that's some tribes are down to 24 hours.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's not, you know,
it's hitting all of us.
It is.
So that's why this coalition is so important.
It's, just it's important that the non tribal side understands it's not us just getting hit.
No,
it's tribes too.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're also, you know, on the sideline, so to speak. Way more than they're allowed in river. All right, jumping out for a final break. We'll come back, close out the show.
For more than 90 years, you've entrusted one brand to guide you towards living the lifestyle you've always dreamed of. Now you can entrust Affiliated Better Homes and Gardens real estate professionals to interpret your needs and help you find the home in which to live your dream through every stage of your home buying or selling process. And through every stage of your life, there's Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate. Expect better.
All right, welcome back here as we close it out. Dwayne and Tommy Dolan. Want to thank our guests, Willie Frank III, Ron Garner. I mean, never enough time, way too much to talk about. Probably going to have you guys back in just to tackle some of these topics.
That's fine.
Definitely, yes.
And just, you know. Might have to throw a spring Chinook on the table.
That's whatever. Right. Yeah. Your wife's out. I'm thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. No, this is this show to me and Tommy has been a blessing to just be able to come together and have these conversations, and needs to happen more. And we're going to have the one percenters out there. We know right? Good, but that's fine. Because without folks willing to step up and have the conversations and move forward, you want to hang on to the past, hang on to the past, but we're moving forward. This train's on the tracks. And it's rolling forward. Like I can't thank you.
We can educate those one percenters.
Absolutely.
That's right. Amen.
Going to do it for us here in the studio. Want to thank everybody for joining us. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time right here. Fish on Northwest. Hey, thanks for joining us here on the Fish on Northwest weekly podcast. I want to remind everyone that you can catch our weekly live stream show on our Facebook page and, of course, our YouTube channel every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. West Coast time. You'll get our insightful in-studio interviews, our extremely detailed how-to segments in the bait lab, the infield segments we bring to you when we're on the water or in the woods, and of course, our amazing cooking recipes in the kitchen with co-host Sherry England and chef Jeff Maxfield. Give us a follow on our Facebook page at Fish Hunt Northwest. Also subscribe to our YouTube channel at Fish Hunt NW. Find us on Twitter and Instagram, and finally, go to our webpage at www.fishhuntnw.com for all the latest and greatest info. Join us each week here on our podcast. Join us each week at our live production. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.